17, we see, starting in verse 5, this scripture where it says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a shrub." And I want you to know, it just goes on and it goes on and it tells you all of these things. If you decide to be at a level to where your strength is leading and guiding you, where what you can do with your own hands, or I may even say with your own gifts and talents, God begins to speak a word over him, through him, and to him. And I'm going to tell you the truth. One thing I love about Jeremiah is everything that came out of him, at some part, he was having to ingest it and to process it through his life. He even said this about God. This is why I find so much strength in this book right here. He said, "God, the one thing I love about you," and I'm going to paraphrase it in my language. He said, "Man, I can come to you and open up, and you can open me up, and there can be something real here." What he had called Jeremiah to do was something that was so supernatural. But Jeremiah knew that he could have a connection with God that caused it to be developed in him, and he trusted that. And I'm going to tell you, that's the truth. What God wants to do for you is so supernatural. And you can have a relationship with him where you can trust the words that he speaks. And you can trust his heart in your hands. And you can trust him to do it in you. And I love that heart. So it says that he goes to this long statement about cursed is the man who does all of these things. But then it goes on to say, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by the water. And it goes on to give all these blessings. So what really we see was going on right there is what we've seen in the church is that God began to come and bring a level of a fear of God on Jeremiah's life into the kingdom of God. God began to speak it clearly. And the response Jeremiah had is the response we always need to have when the fear of God falls on a place or an environment or a moment or a season where we're in. So look over at 14. As God begins to speak all of these things, which are clearly a cleansing, which are clearly a washing, which are clearly a focus into spiritual things, God begins to say, and then Jeremiah's response is, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise." When the fear of God falls, our heart's response to that should be, "Heal me, God. Heal me, deliver me, save me. Do things that what only you can do as you bring me up to this level that you're calling us to come to." And then he goes on to say, see, a lot of times we don't know what we need to be saved of. We don't know what we need to be delivered of. So he goes on to begin to pour out what's in him. A part of the saving and the healing is really pouring out what's in us. It's getting empty of what we think or how we feel or how we respond or what level we're on. And he says, "Indeed they say to me, where is the word of the Lord?" See, this is what people are saying to Jeremiah, because Jeremiah has been speaking the word of God into the season. And they say to me, "Where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not heard away from being a shepherd." He begins to be really real with God, and he believes this is a problem that God needs to fix. He cries out for healing. He declares healing. He begins to say what is in his heart. He pours it out before the Lord. But then God comes and does something so supernaturally. God becomes and talks to him about something completely different than what he's talking about. And that's what God does. God knows the area of deliverance we need to walk into. He knows the purpose of God in the plans in our life. So God then comes and he begins to talk about things that need to be made holy. He comes and he begins to talk about things that need to be made right. And out of that, what we see in the word of God so clearly is fear of God, cry out for healing, pouring ourselves out, and God speaking truth and giving us new insight to see things in a higher way. I'm going to tell you, that's the way we go where we've never been before. That's the way you go and this church goes when people move into that level of being healed in the environment that God has placed us in. Because then God lets Jeremiah go and sit and watch the potter work. When? Before he had done it in him? No, after. After he had been delivered, and he had saw, and he had cried out. Then Jeremiah's eyes could go and see what God was saying to do for more than just him. That's the process of us walking into a greater level of a vessel of honor. It's the first response, God, heal me. Heal me. Heal me. God gave me a dream a couple of months ago. Well, no, it wasn't even a couple of months ago. It was a couple of weeks ago. And it was in response to this season and what God has been really speaking to me. And in this dream, God showed a bear. Now, last year, almost at the same time, God gave me a different dream about a bear. And I talked to you about it the first of this year. It is a demonic plan and weapon of the enemy. And that bear in the dream last year was so focused on a head front confrontation and taking down the individual that was very demonically. It was to crush the purposes of God that were in that person. So this dream about this bear, where the bear came in and began to maneuver in and around the church, in and around all the churches, in and around the school, in and around homes. And this was a giant grizzly. It was the same demonic force. It was the same demonic power. But what it did was it acted like it was something very different than that. It came in and it began to act like a little puppy. And it began to rub. You know how a puppy does? It'll rub across your leg. And it began to come up beside people and roll over and encourage people to play with it. It wanted people to let it in. It wanted people to see it harmless. It wanted people to love it. It wanted people to be able to maneuver in a way that was very unnormal to anybody that could see what that was. It wanted the place in our life that God was calling, that God was calling His. It wanted to be near us. It wanted to manipulate. And it was a liar. Now, a lot of people didn't see it. A lot of people just couldn't even see the demonic power that was there. It would come up and rub all over them and get all around them and play with their kids. But a lot of people just didn't see. But then there was another group of people that bought in to this spirit. And it began to play with it. And it began to enjoy it. And it began to encourage it to play with their kids. And it began to maneuver with it. And it even kind of stood up and started like doing a dance routine. I mean, it became something it definitely was not. And we allowed it to be there. I think the enemy knows he can't come and hit us head on. We see him. But I don't believe that the enemy doesn't try to come at us in many different ways. And what this bear began to do is maneuver in between homes and families and houses in this really large community. And it began to come up and be a part of families and kids and lives until it decided there was a moment that it had enough control that it could rise up and become what it really was in the beginning. And when it became, when it came time and everybody was comfortable with it and everybody had no guards against it, we just let it all in. At that moment, that bear stood up and began to throw his arms and began to toss his, he had no self-control. That's the word that came. He had no self-control. He was a violent enemy, and everywhere he threw his arms, he was making sure he didn't care who he hit or how he hit it and what way he hit it. He was just there to destroy everything that we were there. And what we all did, we all ran and got in our houses. And that bear trailed up and down everybody's house. And it was satisfied keeping us locked in our houses. Why? Because it had control. Because it had control. Because we had allowed it, it had control. I'm going to tell you what that bear, I believe, represents. I believe that bear represents our flesh. I believe that bear represents areas of our life that we will pet and that we will play with and that we will allow the enemy, because we don't see it very harmful, or we don't even see that it is a demonic power that the enemy is trying to get in close, and we let it through to our kids until that place in our life has us such in bondage to where we can't go out and do what God has called us to be. We stay on the level that it demands us to be on. And I'm going to tell you, that's not okay with me. That's not okay with me. Is that okay with you? No, that's not okay with us. So in this season, I believe that God is calling us to be vessels of a higher honor. To be vessels that the enemy can't find a way. That we have keen eyesight. That we're able to see in the Spirit. And what God says is not holy, we won't allow it because we understand how big of a thing that is in the hands of the enemy. The plans of the enemy are not to be at a level to where you're just annoyed. The plans of the enemy are to block the power and the anointing of God from coming into you and through you. And I'm going to tell you, you might not think you fulfilling all the things that God has called you to do is a big deal. But I'm going to tell you, to God, it's a big deal. He invested a lot in you. He has already paid the greatest price for you. And in God's eyes, it is a shame that we do not become in every season all that He has called us to be, because He paid the price for it. And He has a lot of things He wants to do on this earth. A lot of things. So God began to really, as I had that dream, I got up. And the number one thing when I woke up from that dream, God said, focus this year. Focus on the things I'm telling you to focus on. See the things I'm telling you to see. So I went into my room and I started begin to pray and intercede. And I'm going to tell you, a level of conviction like I have not felt. I have felt broken. And I have felt a lot of things, but a level of conviction over little things in my life that the way I responded to a certain situation. The way I responded. And in that situation, I was not wrong. But my response was unholy. God began to pour out a greater fear of God. And in the next probably 2 hours, I just laid on the floor and I wept and I said, God, How can I? Man, God broke me. He broke me over things that break His heart. He broke me in my life over things that convict Him. You might not think they're a big deal, but I'm going to tell you, when God begins to bring His church closer to Him, we should be broken, because I'm going to tell you the truth, we are not holy enough. We are not. And I have no faith that I can be. But I have complete faith that His word says that if I call on Him to heal me, that He will bring my eyesight up to a greater level. And He will strengthen me in my inward man. And that there will be a changing that is going on as I stay holy, completely committed to being healed inside and out. I'm going to tell you, healing is a big deal to God. Healing is a really big deal to God. And He understands the salvation you need in your life. He understands it. That's why He made the path so clear. That's why He fought so hard. That's why He left nothing uncovered. He said, all of it is covered in my blood. All of it is covered and is redeemed. If you will just come to me and get under my wings, every insecurity and level that the devil is trying his best to destroy you with, all of it can be taken care of by the blood. All of it. We've just got to be humble enough and broken enough to be able to come into His presence and say, God, clean me out and fill me up. Clean me out and fill me up. Because God wants us to be so much more than we are being in this level. And that's a good thing. So then he took me over to 2 Timothy. And man, I chewed on this scripture for a long time, way before even God began to open this up to me. It takes me a while to find Timothy because it's hidden in there. So y'all have plenty of time to find it, because it takes me every time, and I've been to it a whole bunch of times. All right, 2 Timothy, I'm going to start with 2:19, because I'm going to first talk about the problem, and then I'm going to talk about the answer. But then I'm going to show you the problem, because the Bible tells us a lot of what the problems are. It says, I love the title of it. Even in 2:14, it's not up there, but it says, approved and disapproved workers. Approved and disapproved workers. If you're planning to be a worker for the kingdom of God, if you're planning on being a war horse for the kingdom of God, I'm going to tell you, your life has got to be cleansed by the fear of God. There's got to be things in your life that show yourself to be approved. It says, remind me of these things, to charge in them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. But be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Then it goes on to talk about two people, and then what they were saying was not right. And then it goes on to 19, it says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. I'm going to tell you the truth. If you will attach yourself to the healing power of God in this season, the sureness of the truth of God will stand in your life to make you be more than you ever intended to be. Because God's words are sure. His commandments, His testimony in our life, when we let it all in, it's a sure thing. He is not the problem. We are. We are. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows who are His. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Another word is saying, everyone that names the name of Christ, be healed. Be healed. Be healed. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. If you had a choice to be a vessel of honor, you would choose that in a heartbeat. But I'm going to tell you, we have a choice in what we allow to be in us. And we choose what kind of vessel we are by what we allow to be in us. And it is not because it was not done to us a lot of times. But if you're wanting to go where God is really wanting you to go, it's going to take you pouring all of that out. Being healed and letting Him fill you up. In every season of your life. It is the commitment of God to you. But it's got to be the commitment to you with God. God, I'm not going to face a situation that I'm not letting you work on me. I'm not going to walk into a time or a season where you're not healing me. Father, I'm going to be dependent on you to be transformed into something. And it's going to be something that you want, not I want. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And it is a heart cry in this season. Therefore, if any, and there's another version of this that says it. I don't know if he's got the other. Jeremy, do you have the other version of that? Of that 2 Timothy 2:21? It's so good. Let me give him just a second. That's one too, but that's not it. But we'll read that one. If a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and met for the master's use. And meat? For the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. If you purge yourself, if you dip yourself, if you be washed clean, if you be healed, God is preparing you for something. Now, there's a whole other version of that that says that there are vessels in a house, some for special use and some for daily use. Some for special use. There it is. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. That's still good, but that's not the one I'm talking about. There's one that said, oh, it's about the spoons. It's up one. I'm so sorry, Jeremy. It's 20. And what it says is, I'm going to tell you the truth. God wants us. He loves me. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. Who gets to decide? Can I ask you? We do. We do. We do. I can tell you, gold can take a lot more heat than wood can. If you can get into a fire and be purged, you know what makes something strong? Long, prolonged heat. Long, prolonged heat. Staying in it till you got it. Staying in it till you got it. Staying in it till you're healed to a level to where the anointing cannot do anything but fall all over you. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. And there's even another level that says the cheap ones are for garbage. Can I be honest with you? You get to make that choice. God allows us to go in as deep and as far and as close and as wide as we will go, but He will only come as close as we will be healed by Him. It's our choice. So what are these things? Let me tell you, there's a story in the Bible that so plays this out for me, and I'm not going to have time to go into it, but you think about Samson's life. Samson was a deliverer. That was what he was called before he was even born. Samson's, an angel came and spoke into his mother and said, he's going to be a deliverer. He's going to be a deliverer. And Samson, as he grew up with such a level of self. He grew up with such a wall of self in front of him that the level and the degree of the utensil that he got to be used for was so far below what God was wanting him to be. And I'm going to tell you, we do that all the time. I do that all the time. See, God called Samson to be a deliverer. And every time Samson would handle a situation, not like a vessel of honor, but like a vessel of strength. See, what happened was he got to a level of his talent, and he ran with his talent. He ran with his gifting. In every situation, he could make it to a level where his strength could kick in and his strength could be a place. But I'm going to tell you, your strength and your talent is not enough for you to be the vessel of God that God is calling you to be. That's the first level God wants to bring you into. And what happened in his life is so sad because he delivered Israel for years. He did. But do you know what happened to Samuel? I mean, to Samson? He became something of everyday use. The end of Samson's life, because every time Samson would deliver, every time, because he was so offended, and every time God would try to work on him, he would talk to God in such a way, not like Jeremiah, that said, God, heal me. He would talk to God in such a way, where are you? What are you doing? Can I tell you the truth? That's not the way to approach God and to get anything from Him. Anything from Him. He hit a season in his life where he had, by strength, attacked, and they asked him why he attacked, and he said, it is for vengeance. Can I tell you, vengeance is God's. It's not yours. Vengeance is not yours. And when you are in a season, the enemy will try to get you so focused in the level of where your healing is that what he will do in that moment is create in you something that is not a vessel of honor. And it becomes something very muddled. And it is God to the level of degree you will let it be. Samson was God's to the level and the degree that he would let God be. And that's sad to me. Because let me tell you, God wanted Samson to be a vessel of gold. The same anointing that was spoken to Samson was the same anointing that was spoken to, I knew I'd forget his name. And I love him. And I do. Gideon. Gideon. God came and told Gideon, you're a deliverer. You're a mighty man of valor. And do you know instantly what Gideon said? Heal me, God. Where have you been? What's going on? Help me see. See, Gideon approached the level God was calling him to with healing. He approached it supernaturally. And what God formed inside of Gideon, when Gideon went and did the first thing, he went and tore down those idols. Do you remember that? He went and did something mighty for God. And they came and said, who did this? And he said, we did it for God. He was using it as an excuse, but use God as an excuse because He's something good to lean on. Do it for God. Do what you do in the kingdom and out of the kingdom. Do it for God. He's a good reason to get all involved in things. He's a good reason to step into areas of your life and to stand and watch God deliver you. He's a reason above all other reasons to believe and conquer what God is telling you to conquer. Our personal reasons are not enough. And our personal reasons stir our flesh. And they make us become a vessel of dishonor. And I've been so guilty of this. But I'm going to tell you the truth, you have been too. All of us at the level that we are on. That's why we all need healing. That's why we all need healing. Because I'm going to tell you the truth. God's desire for us is to heal us, to fulfill us. And it is a beautiful process to say. And a lot of times we don't understand where the healing comes from. But I'm going to tell you, we are not the potter. We don't understand what part needs to come off. We don't understand what needs to go deep down. But He does. So if you come just like Jeremiah did with a heart that says, God, in this season I need a deliverer. So I pray before you move for me, move in me. Move in me. Deliver me. Don't leave me here for daily use. Take me to where you're going, where we can be a special tool used in your hand. Because there's a lot of horses, but there are a few war horses. And I'm telling you, this is a season God is calling our church to run with Him into levels we haven't ran before. So I want you all to close your eyes for a very good reason. Because see, back over in 2 Timothy, God begins to reveal what I believe are things. I'm going to call them walls. There are things that we have allowed to be built in between us and God. You might say there's no problems between me and God. Can I tell you, God probably has a different story than that. You just don't know it. You just can't see it. We just don't have the eyesight in this season to understand. And in 2 Timothy 3, it says in 9, it says this wonderful thing. It says, it's talking about these things I'm about to present to you by the Holy Spirit. And I believe He's going to tear down some walls tonight. But it says, if these things are in you, if they are between you and God, it says, they will progress no further. For their folly will be manifest to all. I don't want that for you. And I don't want that for me. I don't want to not progress any further because I have allowed things I couldn't even see on this level to control my future. So we got the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. You can trust Him. You can trust the healing hands of God to come into your personal life and to rework you and form you to be a vessel of honor that is intended for His use, because it is a glorious thing to see. And He's the potter, and we're the clay. So I want you to ask the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm about to hear a lot of things that the Word says is a block in front of me. It will keep me from progressing in this season. I don't want that. I want a heart that cries out for healing. A heart that cries out for deliverance. For what you wanted for your disciples. You wanted them to see. You wanted them to see. You wanted them to hear. You wanted them to come up. And Father, our heart today is to come up, to be able to see into the level of healing that you are bringing us up into, so it can come through us and go out of us and help us to be a vessel that you can use. So Holy Spirit, as I hear each one of these words, if there's a wall that I've allowed to be built up, reveal it to me. Help me to see it. If it's a wall that you want to work on, if it's something that's keeping me from progressing, from going where you want me to go, reveal it to my heart. Now, I'm just going to start saying off some words, and these are in the Bible, and these are clearly things that in the end times, it's the plan of the enemy to maneuver just like that bear into our life and to cause no progression when we feel like we're waiting on God, and God is saying, come on, come up. I pray right now, Father, that your Holy Spirit will begin to reveal to us where and how to be healed. If you did it for Jeremiah, you would do it for us, God. If you did it for your disciples, Jesus, you want to do it for us. So I say, Holy Spirit, have I allowed a wall of a lover of money to be in my life? And give Him a second. to prick your heart and to reveal it to you so that you can repent. Holy Spirit, have I allowed a wall of boasting, not about you, but about me in my life? Holy Spirit, have I allowed a wall of pride to be built up in my life? The Word says that you have to bring me down. But I pray this morning, Lord, that I can break myself before you, and you can heal me and give me a humble heart. Holy Spirit, I ask you, have I had a blaspheming thought, a blaspheming attitude? Have I looked at things that are godly and said, that is not holy? Have I had a demonic voice that I've listened to and I've agreed with, and I've called things of God something that they were not? Holy Spirit, have I been disobedient? Have I been unthankful? Have I been unholy? Have I been unloving? Have I been unforgiving? Have I been a slanderer? Have I used my mouth to slander and slap and smear and be demonic with the words that came out of my mouth? Have I covered other people in words that are not your words over them? Have I had no self-control? Have I been brutal? Have I been a despiser of things that are good? Have I been a traitor? Have I been headstrong? Not for the right reasons, but for the wrong reasons? Have I been haughty? Have I been a lover of pleasure instead of a lover of my King? Have I let other things take your place? Have I loved other people more than I've loved you? Have I had a form of godliness, but I denied its power in me to change me, to deliver me, to feel me, and to heal me? Lord, your word says from these kind of people, we got to turn away. But Holy Spirit, I know that right now that you have given us an opportunity as a church and as a body to break ourselves before you and to cry out to you, Father, to cry out, God, heal us. Father, I pray right now that you will show me the walls that I have allowed to be built in front of me right now. And let him give you a picture. Man, if it's many, let it be a picture of many. You might have a whole field of walls that's keeping you so far from what God is really wanting to do in you. Say, God, reveal to me the level of walls that I've allowed to be built that is keeping me from progressing to you any further. Say, Father, forgive me. Holy Spirit, cleanse me. Wash me. Wash me. Change me. Mold me. Make me. And I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you on the count of three to ask the Holy Spirit. Stay in your quiet place. Stay with your eyes closed. Stay in this moment with God. Because I'm going to tell you, it's a supernatural thing that God is wanting to do, I believe. Because you know what? We can try for a long time what God can do in one moment. The Holy Spirit knows how to tear things down in a spiritual way, and it causes a miraculous moment in our life that we might strive over for years. So if I pray right now that a healing anointing will fall on this place, and that what the enemy maybe has built up for years will be melted at the humble hearts that are poured out before you, God, today. So I want you to look at those walls. I want you to look at how wide, how tall, how deep the color. I want you to see those walls in front of you. And I want you to ask God on the count of three. I want you to say, Father, when I count to three, will you tear that wall down in front of me? By the power of Jesus that was broken so I could be made whole. For the power of the blood that was shed so that I could be free. When I count to three, Father, will you show me those walls in my life crumbling before me? One. Now walk over them. Walk over those walls. And let Jesus hug you like he has not been able to wrap you under his wings. And let him love you for a minute. Let him speak into your inward man a truth that those walls have kept you from hearing. See him clearer. Look up in his face. Turn around and look behind you and all around you and underneath you. The power of the enemy is broken at the very name of Jesus. Jesus, I thank you tonight that you have done a supernatural work. Just like Jeremiah said, heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Declare out of your mouth right now. Say, Father, I thank you that you have torn down the walls and I am made whole. I am delivered. I am set free. I am near to the Father and he is near to me. He is my shadow. I'm under his shadow. I am under his wings. I have a level of love and dependency that I have not had in a long time. God, I thank you, Father, that you are a very, very, very good potter. And it is so good to be pliable clay. Father, I pray right now that the work of the Holy Spirit, that the enemy cannot come back and build one stone on that wall. Not one stone on that wall. I'm going to tell you, and stay in this moment. Keep your eyes closed just for a second. Man, I had a lot of problems with siblings in my life. I told you, I always felt distant. And God brought me to a moment like this one time. And there was walls so far around me, I couldn't see anybody. Not even. I mean, it's like, and they were almost glass. So I could, on mirrors, I could see myself. And it's a very lonely place to be that way. To see yourself alone. In an encounter like this, I asked him to just take it down. And on the count of three, every one of those walls became water and it just poured over me. And I'm telling you, it was such a clean feeling. So Father, I pray right now that the Holy Spirit will pour over every life in here right now and will declare to them, you are clean. You are clean. Don't go back and build it up. Don't go back and build it up. I believe that God is doing something far beyond what we understand. And a spiritual work constantly in our life builds things in us that we naturally catch up with later on. So when you go out and you respond differently and you see differently, don't stand back and say something negative. Say, God, thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you for that healing. Thank you for that level of a fear of God. Thank you for that cleansing. And go on with it. Don't not progress anymore. Progress into a vessel that God can use. Progress into all that God has for you. God, I thank you that you established a spiritual work. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to build on that. And Father, I just thank you that the Holy Spirit, as He comes in and He moves and He breathes, Lord, that He knows exactly where and how. So I pray that there will be a trust in where you moved and how you moved. And I pray right now that just like your word says, that there's a sureness in your commandments. Lord, that there is a sureness in the hearts of your people today, that what you have declared to crumble and to fall down, it is declared over their life and it is a sure thing. And they won't move back into bondage, but that they will walk forth free and delivered and healed in Jesus' name.